This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, we're awake now.
Somebody else has something on too.
Oh, that one was.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the House and Health and Human Services Committee. This is Vice Chair Representative Leslie Heineman. We obviously have the internet on, and they must have adjusted the volumes. Certainly want to thank everyone that's on the internet in particular, as well as everyone here. Be sure you have your cell phones turned off. And Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Campbell.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
Deutsch. DeSanto. Greenfield.
Here.
Haugard.
Here.
Holmes.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Sly.
Here.
Soley.
Here.
Woman.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
And Munsterman. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Could I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Move.
Representative McCleary, seconded by Representative Consett. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We have some pages here today. Would you like to come forward and address the committee and tell us who you are and where you're from, what your aspirations are?
My name is Maddie Buffington, and I'm from Huron, South Dakota, and I plan to go to Black Hills State University for exercise science.
Great.
My name is Calder Ness. I'm from Kennebec, South Dakota, and I have no idea what I want to do for college.
It's early.
My name is Miranda Anderson. I will be attending Black Hills, South Dakota State next year and studying political science and psychology.
Great. Thank you. Just remind you, if you have any handouts, we will utilize the pages to do that first. Also, if the testifiers would please sign in as they come in, either pro or opponent. I do have a guest I would like to introduce, Jordan Howe. She's from SDSU, and she's shadowing me for the day. Thank you for being here. She's from Redfield originally. Also, you need a badge as well. Everyone should know that. So, with further ado, we'll go ahead and start with our business at hand. Please address all questions through the chair. So we'll open proponent testimony for House Bill 1212, revised requirements related to pregnancy help centers.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Roger Hunt. I'm State Representative, District 25, Eastern Minnehaha County and Northern Minnehaha County. House Bill 1212 is what I think most of the time we label cleanup legislation. Some of you were here when we initially established pregnancy help centers. And in that legislation, we set out the criteria for the staff members of pregnancy help centers. And as you can see from the terms of the bill 1212, there were two or three places of where we referred to the specific types of staff members, physicians, social workers, counselors, etc. And as you can see by the underlinings, in some of these places, we referred to these people as licensed social workers or licensed physicians. And in other places, very honestly, we forgot to put the word license in front of the occupation of the individual. So the first thing that 1212 does is just to go back in and make sure that where we have a particular category of worker, staff member, we just wanted to make sure that it was uniform, and we put in the word license. The only other change to the bill in this area deals with some guidelines that should be used by pregnancy help centers. Currently, we have two health centers, pregnancy help centers, one in Rapid City and one in Sioux Falls. We understand that there's a strong likelihood that there will be a third pregnancy help center in Brookings and possibly in another area. So in light of that, and to help ensure uniformity to some extent relative to counseling services, the two existing pregnancy help centers formed an association, and they developed guidelines for that. And this bill would simply acknowledge the fact that there are guidelines, uniform policies developed for pregnancy help centers, and would encourage, obviously, any new pregnancy help center that would come on board to also follow those same guidelines relative to counseling. If they didn't follow the guidelines, that would not jeopardize their status in any way with the Department of Health, who has to certify all of the pregnancy health centers. So in essence, what 1212 amounts to is cleanup legislation. Your favorable consideration would be appreciated. I will stand by for any other question or any questions you may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Dale Barcher, registered lobbyist with the Family Heritage Alliance Action. We just stand in support of this bill. We believe it simply tweaks, thereby clarifies, and thereby enhances the culture of life here in the state of South Dakota. We'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barcher. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents. Open a testimony for opponents. Any opponents? If not, we'll waive the rebuttal. And we'll open it up and we'll close testimony. And we'll open it up for committee questions. Pretty quiet crowd. Am I scaring you all? If no questions, we'll open it up for any committee action, discussion, or action. Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on House Bill 1212.
Is there second. Second by Representative Greenfield. There's been a motion, due pass, and seconded. We'll open it up for committee discussion. Any remarks? Okay. Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. The question before you is a due pass on House Bill 1212. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch excused. DeSanto excused. Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Willman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman excused.
By majority vote, we declared House Bill 1212 passed, due pass. We have a motion to move consent. Representative Sly, is there a second? Representative Holmes, is there any discussion, any dissent? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. That'll move to consent. Thank you. Next item of business is House Bill 1141. We'll open it up for discussion. Is there any proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Representative Julie Bartling from Gregory District 21, Gregory Tripp, Charles Mixon of Little Sliver of Bonhomme County. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I do have an amendment that I would like the pages to hand out, because it is an important piece as I do the presentation of the bill.
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Discuss both.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the pages begin to pass those around, I'll begin with some introduction of House Bill 1141. If you remember, House Bill 1141, as I bring it to you today, House Bill 1141 is a result of actually Senate Bill 190, which the legislature in 2015 passed. Senate Bill 190 basically stated that a applied behavior analysis provider work group should be established with a member of 16 persons outlined in the bill. And the group was charged with advising and making recommendations regarding the certification and licensure of applied behavior analysis therapy providers. So it's a long name, but it is what Senate Bill 190 charged the group to do. We met several times throughout the interim, and House Bill 1141 is the product that you see. And if I might, Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank the other legislators who served on that committee with myself, which is Representative Holmes, Senator Monroe, and Senator Haverly. And the other 12 members were colleagues in the professional field as well as members from the state offices. So I thank them and up front for all of their help. I'll try and walk you through House Bill 1141. I know it's a little bit lengthy for you, and I'll try to refer to the amendment on House Bill 1141 as you see it before you, which makes this cleans up the bill a little bit, makes it better. Of course, Section 1, as in most bills, this is new language going into the law, but it's the definition and terms that tie the applied behavior analysis to the code in the insurance division part of the code in SDCL 5817. So as you see, those are just the terms and definitions that we'll be following throughout the bill. Section 2 of the bill actually defines the scope of practice provided for applied behavior analysis, and it's similar to the North Dakota statutes. So we are, feel very comfortable that we've gotten some statutes that are already in place and that are working very, very well. Section 3 describes what an applied behavior analyst is not. So we want to make sure that they are not defined outside the norm of what the work that they do. And as you see, it talks about diagnosing, counseling, testing, assessments, and certain things that the analysts do not do. We wanted to make sure that was certainly apparent. Section 4 of the bill gives the governor the direction to appoint an advisory committee. This would be a three-member committee composed of two behavior analysts and one member from the public. They will serve three terms, and they're limited to three consecutive terms. Provides for an annual meeting and advises the Board of Social Work Examiners in the regulation of the behavior analysts and recommends rules that are to be promulgated. So we wanted to be very clear on that need for that advisory committee for the program as we have it defined here. Section 5 lists the exceptions to regulation provided by this bill. As you can see, there is a part of the amendment deals with the Section 3 of this. It's on, as the amendment reads, on page 3, line 17. We are, after the word surgeon, we're inserting psychologist. So that was just a bit of an oversight, and we wanted to be sure that was into the bill as well. Section 6 of the bill, and again, I understand it's a long bill. Section 6 requires licensing for persons representing themselves as behavior analysts unless they're exempted in Section 5. So we want the clarification that who is a behavior analyst and what their degrees are, et cetera. So it's important that we get that defined. Okay, Section 7 of the bill actually provides criteria for the licensure, which is what is the very important part of this bill is the licensure of the behavior analysts as defined in this statute. So it provides for that, incorporating some of the requirements from the insurance chapter, and it does add in the moral turpitude for standard of conduct, verification that the applicant is not subject to any disciplinary proceedings from any other jurisdiction. So those are certainly things that we wanted to be assured that we're in the bill for safety purposes. Section 8 sets out the initial application fee for the certification that it shall not be more than $300. We also see on the amendment that this will state also that prohibits any of the monies from the licensed social workers who are the board that does the licensure is not used in the support of the professionals of the ABA. So we wanted clarification on that. Section 9 of the bill defines the social work examiners to set the parameters for the application form and requiring that everything be notarized and that the initial fee shall accompany the application, all to be just clarified in statute. Section 10 says once the behavior analyst presents their evidence of certification for annual licensure, that the fee shall be paid, again, not to exceed $300 per year, with the amount actually being determined by the Board of Social Work Examiners. Section 11 of the bill also states that the social work examiner shall determine the code of ethics, which is also very important in this licensure process. Section 12 basically sets out the grounds for discipline, should that arise, and you can see how that is all determined. Section 13 of the bill, as we move on, allows for the board to institute proceedings for misconduct as defined in Section 12 or gross incompetence, unprofessional or dishonorable conduct as grounds for cancellation or revocation of their license. So all of this is just following through with the ethics piece of the certifications. Section 14 required a majority of the members to be present at a hearing should there be one to revoke or cancel or suspend a license, and of course will require a majority vote of those board members to do such. Section 15 just basically talks about proceedings that are set forth in Chapter 126 of the statute regarding all of these, the cancellation, revocation, etc. So there are rules that are govern this as well. Section 16 provides for an appeal of an aggrieved party that has had their license revocated, canceled, suspended. So there's an appeal process that we need to put into the statute. Section 17 actually provides an avenue for license reinstatement. Should the aggrieved party have the proof put before the board that their license should be reinstated, there is now the procedure there for that reinstatement. Section 18 requires that the secretary-treasurer of the Board of Social Examiners shall maintain the records of all licensees. So that is always a place to go to for that those records. Section 19 sets a penalty for practice of applied behavior analysis without a license, and that does set that out as a Class II misdemeanor. And so based upon those types, we did request a statement as far as the incarceration statements, and if you go out onto the website, you will see that there is no negligible impact on this. So we do have that statement of impact on board for you to review. As we go on, Section 20 will give the board the authority to recommend prosecution to an appropriate state's attorney or to recommend civil prosecution to the attorney general. And, of course, this would all come about should there be the misconduct, et cetera, that might come before that examiner board. Section 21 will give the board the ability to hire special counsel to assist in prosecution for violations of this act, should that be necessary. Section 23 is subject to the amendment that I have proposed before you today, and that one is about the disposition of fees paid by the behavior analyst. As you can see, that is, and I apologize, I'll correct myself here, that is on Section 23. That's the one that's on delete lines 2 to 9 inclusive and insert. Any money coming into the custody of the board pursuant to this act shall be credited to the South Dakota Board of Social Work Examiners Fund that is established under Chapter 3626. So we wanted clarification as to where the fees would be deposited. So just clarification for that, Mr. Chair. Section 24 is pertaining to confidentiality between the applied behavior analyst and the persons consulting with the analyst. Of course, we all know the confidentiality is clearly important in any of the fields that we talk about. Section 25 requires a criminal background check and fingerprinting of the paraprofessional providing the services. And as you can see, paraprofessionals are the ones who deliver the services under the extended authority of the behavior analyst. So that's always important when working with children, as we see that throughout the code, the criminal background check. Section 26 requires or prohibits the paraprofessionals who've been convicted of a crime, of violence, a sex offense, or trafficking in narcotics from delivering the services as defined and under the direction of the applied behavior analyst. So, again, clarification for any of those offenses. Section 27 provides for the promulgation of rules, of course, for all of the varieties of qualifications for licensure, which we see throughout the code, and as you can see, they're defined in the bill. And then Section 28, which is brought to you as a part of the amendment, is basically states that the Act, as we see it before you today, will be repealed on July 1 of 2024. That is in 8 years. And, of course, the reason for that is the applied behavior analysts certainly want to have their own board for licensure, but it does take time to get that all set up. And so we do thank the Board of Social Works Examiners for being willing to step up and help with the licensure process at this point in time, and hope that as you see fit that we can move this bill forward and take that next step that we've been working for the past 3 years with ABA therapy and the work that it does for children across the state. This is the next, I should say, first important step as we take, and hopefully many more to come over the next few years as we work with children who have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will stand by for question, but there are people to testify behind me that can certainly delve a little deeper into the bill should you have some questions on specifications. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
Thank you, Ribson and Bartling. Thank you also for your work on the and your committee. Are there further proponents? Yep. Yeah, come to the mic. Yeah. Identify yourself. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I just want to get this here so I can get it up. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Thank you for hearing me today. I am Dr. Vicki Eisler, and I am representing several areas today, and I was also on the governor's workforce to propose this bill. I am currently the principal and superintendent at Lifescape Specialty Schools, and I am also the director of behavioral services at Lifescape. I'm also a family member. I have two nephews here in South Dakota on the autism spectrum. And finally, I am a adjunct professor at SDSU in the Department of Psychology, teaching behavioral courses. What I wanted to do today is just give you an idea of what we do as behavior analysts and how it impacts lives. I know you can read the bill and see all the technical definitions and all the numbers, and I certainly don't want to repeat that. I'll start with autism. Autism is a pervasive developmental disorder. Pervasive meaning that it affects all areas of function, developmental meaning that it's present at birth, and disorder meaning it's not a disease, and there is no cure, no pill that can fix this. It severely affects children, adults, teenagers on the autism spectrum in three significant areas: communication, socialization, and behavior. And if you can imagine how profound those three areas are, to have pervasive effect in those areas is very challenging. What the use of the principles of applied behavior analysis can do is profoundly affect teaching in those areas. So we talk a lot about ABA and applied behavior analysis, and you, like I said, you have the technical definitions. What it is, it's the science of changing and improving human behavior. That's what we do. We work to make lives better through changing behavior. And it's not just, this came about to us, and it's been brought forth a lot in autism bills, but human behavior is human. It's not just autism. So it's all ages, all areas, all abilities, all disabilities, all intellectual levels. I'll start with early intervention, and I think that's probably where we see the most impact of in the field of applied behavior analysis. Early, we call it EIBI, Early Intensive Behavior Intervention. And this is the gold standard of autism treatment, and which is why we're here before you and why the autism bill came up last year. And I can explain it best. I mentored under Dr. David Holmes in New Jersey, and he was very progressive before anyone knew really there was a lot of talk about autism. He started an autism agency in 1975, an ABA autism agency. So I worked under him. I've been in the field since before when autism was a rare disorder. And he explained it in a way that has stuck with me for the past 30 years, and I wanted to share that with you today. Basically, the example he gives, if you can teach a child to speak a foreign language before the age of 6 or 7, they'll speak it without an accent. And that's because those neuropathways remain open, and you stimulate those neuropathways and they will go on. Of course, we can learn a foreign language later, but we speak it with an accent because of that. And he explained to me what happens in autism, what we believe happens in autism, is those neuropathways start to shut down very early. And that's why we see children who either don't develop language, or, as an example, the language piece, or maybe gain language and then lose it. What intensive early intervention does is it basically bombards the brain with intensive learning that will stimulate and keep those neuropathways open. And so that, over the 30 years of my career, that is probably the most impactful thing that has been said to me as far as why we do what we do and why it's so impactful. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't impact, and I have an example later with an adult in the next couple of minutes. But that's why it doesn't mean you can't work, just like you can learn a foreign language later. But it's more impactful if it's at a younger age. And that's where we look at early intervention. So ABA addresses the lifespan of teenagers, transition to adulthood, employment for adults. There's also work now in dementia and Alzheimer's to try to keep people in their homes longer by using the principles of applied behavior analysis and teaching. I'm using it now to address my staff at Lifescape and to teach them and try to stop the turnover of our direct care staff so much. So it really gives a broad spectrum of what we can do. I wanted to quickly, as my time is nearing the end, illustrate a story of how we use applied behavior analysis in the lifespan. And I'll tell you the story of an adult that I worked with named Larry. Larry was in, when I worked in New Jersey, they closed all of the developmental centers in New Jersey. And we had an autism agency that had group homes and school and employment, and so the individuals from the developmental center, North Princeton Developmental Center, moved into our program. And Larry was on; he was the first on my caseload, and he was pretty intense, tough. He had been in the institution since he was 4, and now he's 40, and he'd never been anywhere else. And he had autism at the time he had it. It was diagnosed as juvenile schizophrenia. So he later got, they realized that he had autism. And his mom, who I became very close with through this journey, she didn't want him to leave the institution. That was his home. And she fought to keep him there and to keep the developmental center open. But it closed. And Larry came with us. And Larry came on, as many individuals we see when they get to us, came on a lot of medication. He was on 800 milligrams of Thorazine. I remember looking at that and going, I don't even know how he's walking. And he'd get an IM injection of Thorazine if he got agitated. So we proceeded to take him off of that medication and deal with the behavioral issues that came about using applied behavior analysis. And it was tough. He broke out all the windows in my vans. He broke out it was quite the scene, and he tore up furniture. But we didn't give up, because we know this works. It always works if you give it the time to work. And so Larry eventually went to the Jersey Shore. He went to Disney World. He lived in the community. He worked in the community. And the time that I saw his mom cry was when she saw him first in a suit. She'd never seen him in a suit his whole life. And Larry was, after we got all the medication off, he was funny. And he was handsome. He looked like Robert De Niro. But he was a different person. We changed a life at 40. So if we can do that at 40, think about what we can do at 1.5. And so that's where the early intervention comes in, that it's so much more impactful. But I want people to know that it's impactful no matter when. No matter when we use those principles. So just giving you an idea of what we do as behavior analysts. I'm very proud to have 5 behavior analysts at my agency that we have grown. I was the 3rd person in the state as a behavior analyst here. And I have 5 now and 5 in training at Lifescape. So I'm very proud of the fact that we're growing in the field and that we're working with children and making lives better. So, in conclusion, what I can say to you is, after nearly 30 years of teaching and doing behavior analysis and working as a principal and as behavior analyst, I believe that licensing behavior analysts can only make the field better and can only improve situations for children and adults here in South Dakota. I thank you for your time, and I hope that you will see the benefit of passing this bill.
Thank you, Dr. Eisler, right?
Thank you so much.
Are there any further proponents?
Hello, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lisa Stanley, and I'm representing Parents for Autism Insurance Reform in South Dakota. As a parent of a child on the autism spectrum, I felt fortunate to be included on the governor-appointed Applied Behavior Analysis Provider Work Group. HB 1141 is the thoughtful product of this work group, and I am thankful to be here today speaking in support of this bill. By the CDC's most recent estimates, autism affects up to 1 in 45 children, and as some of you know, my son Christian is one of those children. He was diagnosed with autism at the age of 4. Christian had some mild communication deficits, but most of his symptoms involved disruptive behaviors, rigid thinking, and difficulty with social interactions. Christian received 2 years of intensive applied behavior analysis therapy that was overseen by a board-certified behavior analyst. Just before he began therapy, his preschool teacher gave us the devastating news that she was not sure he could remain in school because of his difficult behaviors. A few months into his therapy, the same teacher told us she had never seen a child turn around like our son had. Christian transitioned out of therapy over a year ago and was able to mainstream into his kindergarten classroom without any special education services whatsoever. I am thankful to report that he is now a healthy and happy first grader. He's reading at the 5th grade level, he's good at math, he loves science, and he plays the piano and the cello. We were thrilled with his academic achievements, but I'm most happy to report that he is a sweet boy that enjoys school and has made some very good friends. Under the guidance of his behavior analyst and behavior technician, Christian was given the tools he needed to regulate and change his difficult behaviors and ultimately change the course of his future. It has allowed my husband and I to recapture those dreams that every parent has for their child's future. We know that Christian's ABA therapy program was a huge part of his success. Someday I hope to see all South Dakota children on the autism spectrum have the opportunity to benefit from this life-changing treatment. We see licensure of behavior analysts through HB 1141 as the next logical step in achieving this goal. HB 1141 is the product of multiple interested parties and has been well-researched and thought out during the course of the work group. I believe it is a solid bill that represents a good compromise among all vested groups. It will allow for the monitoring and oversight of ABA providers and services in South Dakota, which will only help to further serve and protect our children on the autism spectrum. It is our hope that providing licensure for behavior analysts will eventually lead to an increased willingness among health insurance providers to cover the medically necessary therapies overseen by behavior analysts. This will, in turn, help to promote the continued growth of our behavior analyst provider base, leading to the expansion of ABA services, something that we critically need in South Dakota. We see licensure of behavior analysts as the next step in the long-term goal of providing this medically necessary therapy to our children on the autism spectrum. I urge you to send HB 1141 onto the House floor, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Stanley. Further proponents for House Bill 1141? Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the House and Human Services Committee. My name is Tom Holmes, and I'm a representative from District 14 in Sioux Falls. And I would like to begin on something of a personal note, if I may. I was asked to be on this committee. I actually volunteered and was selected. And it's been a great experience for me personally because I've grown as a person. I didn't know much about autism when I got on the committee, but I found that the experience allowed me to meet many wonderful people and to grow as a human being, because oftentimes I found when I'm skeptical or fearful of something, it's usually because I don't know much about it. Now, with my experience as part of this group, when I see a child who has autism, I feel a greater sensitivity and a greater sense of compassion for that individual as well as the family. I'm speaking from the perspective of an educator here. When I taught in high school, we had little or no contact with autistic students, simply because if they were there in the building at all, they were in a separate classroom with a teacher, or maybe in many cases two or three teachers, because oftentimes one teacher wasn't enough. When I say teacher, I mean a special needs teacher. If we did see them, it was at lunch or perhaps in the hallways, but they were really not integrated with the rest of the student body. They couldn't be. Since I retired from the public schools, I've substituted, and I've taken special pleasure in substituting in elementary schools. Students who are diagnosed with autism at that level are integrated where they can be in classrooms, but oftentimes they're taught separately. And if they are integrated, they can't be in the classroom for an entire day. I'll give you an example. Earlier this fall, I was substituting in an after-school program, and I got there early so that I could be there when the kids got out of school. And I like to walk around the hallways and take a look at the artwork and other things that elementary teachers have their students do, because I've discovered that teachers, especially elementary teachers, are particularly creative, and it's just fun to see what the kids are doing. Well, when I was walking along, I saw a young lady, 20-something, with this little guy. And I just started talking to her. I said, what's with this little guy? Isn't he feeling well? Oh, no, he doesn't do well in the afternoons, she said to me. I said, what do you mean? Well, he's okay in the morning, but he's autistic, and he just can't handle being in the classroom in the afternoon. So we walk around, just he and I. We're getting to be good friends. And I said, well, how does he get the instruction that his peers are getting right now? Well, we fit that in as best we can. Maybe after school, over a lunch hour, whenever we can, and whoever's able to do it with him. And I thought, by that time I'd been through the committee, and I realized, what if this young man had received ABA therapy? He might be fully integrated into his classroom. He'd be learning with the rest of his students as they're learning. Not only that, but I know too that students like this, especially at a young age, are regarded as being different, and sometimes they're the targets of bullying. So I thought, how much better would it be for him if he were able to be educated with his peers? How much better would it be for his family, for his educators, for even for the taxpayer? Instead of paying this one young lady to walk with him, basically babysit him afternoon, every afternoon she could be with other students with other needs, working with them as part of a group. So it's a win-win situation for all concerned, and I would ask you to pass Bill 1141 onto the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Any further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Gloria Pearson. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Human Services, and I'm here to ask your support of House Bill 1141. I echo all the wonderful testimony you've already heard this morning. Everybody has stated everything so eloquently. I do not want to repeat what's already been said. I was privileged to be the chair of the work group, the 16-person work group that was referenced, with a broad group of interested parties who were very dedicated to this process. And I do believe that we all learned a great deal and took our duties very seriously. We spent time studying autism, Behavior Analyst Certification Board. We learned how other states regulate behavior analyst. We learned about licensing boards. We had public testimony. These are just a few of the things that we did to make sure that we reviewed all the data that we could and make the best decision that we could. So I thank all the members of the work group for their participation, and I just ask your support.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Avera Health Plans. Avera has been involved with the process of the prior legislation and this legislation as well on autism. We believe that this is another good step in the process. We would urge you to adopt the amendments and pass the bill on out. We appreciate your support on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Janae Hansen, National Association of Social Workers, the South Dakota chapter. As a professional organization for social workers and the developer of the Code of Ethics, NASW understands the importance of professional licensing board, which maintain professional integrity and protect the public through regulatory processes. NASW has been supportive of autism care coverage in our state and supports licensing applied behavior analysts in South Dakota. We do, however, have some reservations with ABA forming their advisory committee under the Social Work Board of Examiners. We have been diligent in educating the public about the social work profession, securing and advocating for title protection, and last year eliminating the equivalence license. We are concerned about how this could affect our social workers and potentially how the public views the profession. Moreover, what does this mean for current and future licensed social workers? With the collaboration of workgroup members, sponsors of the bill, and the governor's office, we have been able to address many of these concerns. We had as professional social workers. NASW South Dakota can only support this bill with the proposed amendment. The amendment that Representative Bartling proposed will ensure that social workers will not have to pay as a result of adding the ABA Advisory Commission to the Social Work Board of Examiners. In addition, these revisions would ensure protection for our social workers in South Dakota. We appreciate and thank all the stakeholders for their willingness to work with us in drafting these new measures, which would result in a better bill. We want to publicly extend a thank you to these same stakeholders for inviting NASW to be part of the rulemaking process as well. One of the fundamental goals of the social work profession is to improve the living condition of our clients and to empower and stimulate their efforts. We believe in a holistic and systematic approach to achieving these goals. We recognize complex systems and understand that no South Dakota lives in a vacuum. Individuals diagnosed with autism and their families are part of a larger multi-system. In order for these South Dakotans to be successful, they must have access to licensed ABAs, who are held accountable by a regulatory board. We ask that you support the bill and the amendment to free social work fees and place a sunset clause on the act. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Further proponents of House Bill 1141. Okay, we'll proceed to opponents. Any opponents for House Bill 1141? Any opponents? Okay, seeing none, we'll waive the rebuttal and we'll move into questions. Does the committee have any questions? Okay, we'll close public testimony and proceed to, I believe we have the first discussion and or action. We have the amendment before you. Yes, Representative Soli.
I'd like to move Amendment 1141 FB.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Soli and seconded by Representative Sly. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the way in which this committee, our work group, has also worked with the Board of Social Workers and the testimony of the last proponent. I always like creative solutions, working out some of these difficulties and supporting the bill. So this amendment seems very important. I think we should pass it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If not, the motion before you is to amend House Bill 1141 FB. Do I need to read the amendment? I'll waive that. Okay. This will be a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay. Motion to amend passes. Now we'll proceed with the House Bill 1141 as amended. Is there any discussion? Representative Sly.
Yes, I will thank everyone here. I remember 3 years ago, and I looked around, and I think seven of you are new. You probably did not experience the beginning journey that this had. And this is part of that journey. It's not all done yet, but it's a lot of step forward. And I just appreciate the work of working together when things are really hard and coming together as really strong opposing viewpoints and be able to work that out away from microphones. And this is a result of that. And I commend all of you that have been a part of that, because this is really what it's all about. It's not about, we put things in statute to solidify that hard work, but the journey is in that process, and I think that you can all be commended for that hard work. So I do support this bill.
Thank you for those heartfelt comments, Representative Sly. Any further discussion and or action? Representative Soli.
Thank you. I move to pass.
Okay, there's been a motion to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Representative McCleary. Any comments on that? Representative Soli.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the privilege of saying do pass. This has been a long journey for this group, and we're not there yet. But I was sitting here thinking of why I ran for office, and the whole idea was to maybe change some things at a level where they could really make a difference, and not sometimes in my work dealing with the ramifications of problems that should have been solved in a different place. So
This is a good thing. I was especially excited to hear we have 5 in training, because that was an issue along the way as to how many workers, you know, we could make these changes and there'd be nobody there to do it and all these things, so that we've progressed, and I think we can feel good to be part of that progression and aware that there will be more issues, but I move to pass. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Soli. Any other further discussion?
Just for clarification, I think the motion needs to be do pass as amended.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay. The chair will also concur. We were in this together when we started, and the room was full. I remember when they first came up here, and it was quite an impact on everyone. So we do certainly appreciate your sincere efforts. And you're right, it's been a long process, so we thank you for that. With that, the motion before you is to do pass on House Bill 1141-FB as amended. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, the Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch excused. DeSanto excused. Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman excused. 10 ayes, 3 excused.
Based on a majority of the committee, House Bill 1141-FB as amended has passed. It's a long bill. I don't know if you want to consent or not. Okay, thank you, committee, for that. Next on the agenda, we have House Bill 1181, and I've been informed the sponsor would like to defer that to Tuesday. So the chair will grant that request. So that'll be tabled. I had a request for House Bill 1236 to be tabled as well. So we'll go on the record as stating that.
Deferred.
Or delayed. Deferred, yep. Yep, okay. All right. Is there any other business before the committee? If none, could I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Representative Woolman moves and Representative Consett seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries.